The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one is Jeremy Schilling at JTShill20. The Boston Red Sox drop another series, no surprise, to the Houston Astros, who are also one of the worst teams in baseball, 2-1, and lose in extra innings, 3-1 in 10. The Houston Astros and Boston Red Sox now are both 1-2 in extra inning games. The Boston Red Sox were able to turn a pretty sweet 6-5 unconventional double play before ending the game and grounding out into a game-ending double play in 10 innings. Major concern for this one, Ranger Suarez pulled after 4 innings with hamstring tightness, allowing 3 hits, striking out 3, and 1 walk. Jeremy, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, I mean, one of my opening thought before we get to the first segment is that these were two of the worst teams in baseball. And the Astros, I think, will get back in it because they actually have a bunch of talent and a roster that makes sense from my perspective in watching this series. But the story of today is obviously Ranger Suarez, who was cruising, 3 hits through 4. I think he was only at 70 pitches, so you'd think he'd get to 6-plus innings. And he comes out of the game to end the inning and kind of just has a little comment for Bailey. And the next thing you know, everyone's scrambling. Why did he leave the game? It turns out he's got a hamstring. So it put an immediate stress on the bullpen, which is where Ranger's been really good in the last 4 outings, is he's gone deep in games. His last time out, he went 8 innings and really gave the bullpen a break. He did the opposite today. Obviously not his fault. His hamstring goes. Hopefully it's minor. It did look minor. I couldn't really tell that he was hurt, but he must have felt something. And, you know, the problem now becomes with Crochet out and Sonny Gray out, although he may be making his next start, they're testing the depth of the organizational starting pitching. And now it's your top 3 guys out. This isn't like you're running into some injury problems and it's the bottom of the rotation. Your top 3 guys are out. And a season that is an absolute rolling dumpster fire, you think can't get any worse. And here we go. Your best pitcher that's active is now probably going to have to go on the DL, even if it's a short stint, to avoid a major injury with, you know, making the hamstring worse. So the bullpen was really good in this game. Obviously, they can't help but shoot themselves in the foot. They come out, Weissert's wild, bunch of non-competitive pitches, but ultimately they get you to late stages in the game. Chapman was excellent today. And, you know, the defense made some big play. And then Kelly just, I don't know. And he's been good, but, you know, maybe the fact that he's even in the game there is a product that Suarez hurts himself and has to come out early. So even on a start where he threw the ball really well, throwing strikes in the strike zone, moving the ball around, soft contact, no real pressure, by the way. It wasn't like he had to pitch out of a bases loaded thing. He was cruising. And it's just the way the season's going is he pulls his hamstring. It's just brutal luck. It's brutal.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. You're talking about the last start, and we'll actually double down and say two of those last three starts, he's gone 16 innings. He struck out 10 in one, I think four in the other. So 14 strikeouts, three hits, only got a win in one of those games. We couldn't get him the win in the other game. So the RPU, the run prevention unit, that was in full effect today. I mean, you go nine innings, you've allowed one run. Like, great job. But you're now showing well, here's the thing, too. Against a better offense and also one of the worst teams in baseball, you could only score one run against the second worst team in the American League. Do you know who's the worst team? We are. We're now sitting in the bottom. We're sitting at the basement of the American League right now. We're the second worst team. I think only the Mets have a worse record, and they had a 10-game losing streak. Like, that's how – I mean, the Phillies have lost 10 games in a row, and they're doing better than we are. A couple other things about Ranger, like you were talking about, he is – without a doubt, he has solidified himself as the number two. Couple of other fun statistics about Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez, over his last five starts, 30 and two-thirds innings, including today, has allowed four earned runs, and all those happened in only one of those starts. He's got 27 punch-outs, 14 hits allowed, seven walks, and again, just those four earned runs in 30 and two-thirds. What else do you want to know? Since then, he's only gone 2-1 in those five starts. Now, I'm not looking at it right now, but four earned runs in 30 innings, that's an ERA of, isn't it like 2.25 or like 1.8, something like that? He's got a sub. Let's do this right now. I should have had this one already out. Four earned runs in 30 and two-thirds innings. What is your ERA? 1.17. And it's amazing that you have an ERA that low and you've got a loss registered to your name. That's embarrassing. So your run prevention unit has done a great job of preventing runs, but your run scoring unit is just on vacation. And it feels like there have been way too many games where that's been the case. Now, I can't fault Ranger Suarez for hamstring injury. He's been one of our best players this season. You can't expect somebody like that to be like Shohei or, you know, anybody who can hit and pitch. There are very few people in professional sports that can, you know, kind of do it both ways here. And Shohei is definitely the staple for those that, you know, for the people that can do both the offense and the pitching. Ranger Suarez will come back. If he does have to spend any time on the IL, my hope and prayer is that it's a minimal amount of time. We are already bleeding out. And this was one of our concerns at the beginning of the year. What happens if you lose one of your aces? What happens if you lose your first two guys? And that wasn't even a thought, because at the time we hadn't gotten Ranger Suarez, and it was, if we lose Garrett Crochet for an extended period of time, regardless if it's a month or a little bit, you know, over that, I think your season's cooked. I think you're done, because you're already not a run scoring team, and you're not able to beat up on the teams that are really, really bad. That's a recipe for absolute disaster and chaos. Like, this is going to go down as probably one of the worst teams this team has ever put together since we started winning World Series again back in 2004. You've won four, right? It feels like it's going to be a really long time before we're able to do it again. And you can't put all the pressure on Garrett Crochet and Ranger Suarez to get you all your wins. A lot of pressure on Conley early. A lot of pressure on Peyton Tolley. No pressure on Brian Bello, because I don't think he's long for the rotation. And once Sonny Gray comes back, I mean, Brian Bello is still in the rotation because of the casualties that we've suffered in the rotation. That's it. That's the only reason why he's still there. And I feel bad for Ranger Suarez. I hope it's a minimal stint. Anything else you want to add, Ranger?
Nah, I mean, we need some luck here, which we haven't had any. And he maybe was overly cautious and, you know, some therapy, get out of the cold weather, and he should be, you know, maybe he can make his next start. Again, he didn't come off in any discomfort. And unless he hurt the hamstring on the last pitch of the inning where he retired the side, he pitched through whatever was going on. So there's, you know, And obviously the Reds, it's too early to tell, but he didn't look in obvious discomfort. So let's hope it's best case scenario and he's going to make his next start.
I want to shift over into the offense. And I think, you know, I know you don't. And I don't think anybody wants to talk about it. It feels so simple to just be able to say, all right, cool, onto the offense. And let's talk about something else because it's non-existent sometimes. You see, you have players at second and third. You got Monasterio, who I want to see actually take a chance. I get the small ball. Let's try to bunt and get on base. But with runners at second and third and two outs, you think you're going to be able to play this one out where you're gonna get on base here? So worst case scenario, you have the bases loaded with two outs. We're still praying that we get a run across here. And like, I get it. You don't trust your team to hit or swing. So we're going to try to bunt and get on base. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. We got on base a couple times. We got really lucky with the bunts and whatnot. But I mean, here's the thing. Your run prevention unit, from your defensive standpoint, they did a very good job of keeping it to one run over nine innings. You only got one run again because of Jarren Duran. Jarren Duran is now responsible for two games of your full runs knocked in support. That can't happen. Jarren Duran, another home run, and hey, that's great. But you know what? One run for this team is not enough. Like, you don't have a rotation of five guys with an elite, like a Padres bullpen, where you're going to be able to prevent or keep zero runs from scoring on a consistent basis. And here's the thing, too. You scored a run, and then in the next half inning, they were able to get another run because I think it was Matthews who sacrificed into a double play. It was, unique situation, but Altuve ended up getting thrown out, but they were able to, they were able to get a run in. And this is the thing. Scary thing with Walker. Walker ended up leaving the game for speed, and that ended up benefit. I mean, they gave the Red Sox an edge here by doing that. And a scary moment with Walker earlier in the series, broke a piece off of the helmet. I don't remember what inning it was or who threw it, but it was a little scary. You can't score any runs. After the fifth inning, you guys scored no runs. The only people that really did anything in this game, you had Contreras, who had three hits today. You had Duran, who had the solo home run. Roman Anthony had a double that, I mean, in certain stadiums, that's probably a home run. And unfortunately, that just happens to be the battle with the Green Monster in deep center field. And then I think it was, wasn't Contreras. I think Narvaez hit like Narvaez a, he roped it. Yeah. Dude, that was an absolute rocket off the wall. It felt like a Fenway single. He was hit so damn hard. But I think that ended up being a double as well. So you were able to hit their pitcher. And the crazy thing is, as damning as it was on their pitcher, their starter, who only lasted a couple innings before they brought in one of their relievers who was just a mop-up guy, he hasn't been doing that great. You only got your run off of him, but he still was able to strike you guys out four or five times. This is a team that is going to get baptized day in and day out. And on the last show that I was doing with Juan, our newest bastard, I said, I got a feeling there's a chance the Red Sox could win this series. Maybe we sweep. I could be wrong. I probably will be because the Boston Red Sox have not given me any impression or feeling that they have the bandwidth or ability to take a series on a consistent basis. Forget about regular basis. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I mean, one of the clear things to me in this series was the Astros' plan to stay on the outside half of the plate against the lefties. And besides Roman, whose the ball he hit off of the monster was actually on the inner half of the plate, but no one really took advantage. You have to know what's going on. You have to be watching film in between at bats and after the games, and you have to know the game plan. How many balls got hit off the wall by a lefty in this series? I mean, I don't know where the adjustments are coming in. If it's like the hitting coach isn't seeing it or the players aren't seeing it, that's an indictment on the whole process. Because I'm sitting there and by the fourth inning, it's obvious that they're just staying hard stuff away, sliders down into feet, trying to get chase. It wasn't like there was some, player to, they were treating everybody the same as far as the game plan. So it's just extremely frustrating. They're absolutely punchless. They load the bases on the Meyer slider on the foot. Abreu is really all over the place. And when he's throwing strikes, it's not necessarily where he's looking to do it. And you're just up there, Rafaela, you know, what is it? The first pitch, one hopper to the shortstop, game over. It is
that was awful.
Perfect ending to this game, because it is the exact way the whole season has gone. The inability, and I have been saying this for 2 years, the inability to hit in situational moments is pathetic. It is pathetic. And there's got to be a shift somewhere in the mindset. Now, with that said, there are some signs that guys are coming out of it. Duran's been hitting the ball really pretty good for about a week. I can count maybe like 8 to 10 balls that were 100-plus miles per hour off the bat. Two of them were obviously the home runs, and he really doesn't have a lot to show for it. So I do think Duran's on the verge of coming out of this thing. I think Roman's showing some signs. Contreras has been your most consistent player. Meyer's starting to, you know, he's hit 9 out of his last 10. He's got a hit at least, you know, and he seems to have an approach. So Abreu's starting to come back into how he was really at the beginning of the season. So they're starting to show signs. But the problem is, if they're not going to hit home runs, which they're not going to do, they got to string hits, and they just can't do it. They can't do it. It's so frustrating. And their inability to, you know, today they, like IKF did get the bunt down. So there's signs right there. You know, we had trouble with that as of like 10 days ago, where we just couldn't even get a bunt down. So we're starting to do some of it, but there's no big hit with runners in scoring position. And you know, maybe guys on an individual level are starting to show signs. Organizationally, there's no sign they're going to come out of how they can't hit with runners in scoring position. I think they had 13 left on base, and I think they were 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position, something like that.
I don't remember where they were in scoring position, but this team was just atrocious. I mean, it was just a miss left, right, and center. You have the bases loaded, no outs, top of 10. I'm sitting here like, we're going to bleed out here. I mean, this feels ugly. It doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. It just looks really bad, right? Bases loaded, and you're able to turn the most unorthodox double play, a 6-2-5 double play. And that happens. So already you're seeing players play in positions that we don't regularly see them in. It's wild, right? 6-2-5 double play, and it worked out, right? Then you load up the bases again, and all that work for nothing. And then a Roper off the monster and left, we're down 3-1. You're able to load up the bases once Marcelo Meyer. I hate seeing players get hit. I find it to be so wasteful. And honestly, like if Brian Abreu was a better pitcher this year, they would have been out. They wouldn't have had to, you know, obviously it's an accident. I don't think Brian Abreu is intentionally hitting anybody here. But Brian Abreu has been trash this year. He's been awful. He's been getting torched left and right. In this year, he's their closer. He's got one save this year. He got an ERA north of 10. And you guys couldn't score one run in 2 innings? I mean, dude, they give you a free runner at second. You couldn't do anything? Bases loaded with Sadon Rafaela. Brother, take the first pitch. I don't want to see you swinging at the first one anymore. Not when you do that. When you ground into a game-ending double play when we need at least one in, I mean, dude, your job should be to throw that thing into the air. I don't care. Dude, hit it. Sky, I don't care. Do not hit it into the ground. Bases loaded, one out. I mean, taking the wind out of your sails is one thing. That's just an absolute disaster. It is a disaster class and classic Boston Red Sox, bottom of the 9th, bottom of the 10th finish. I hate it. I mean, I hate watching this team when we're down by a run or two. And when this team's in extra innings, I hate watching this team more than last year when we were actually, statistically speaking, worse in extra innings at a certain point in the season. I would rather see them than this team this year.
One thing that became abundantly clear to me, and it's the whole season, but just today, Durbin is so non-competitive. with his at-bats. And I know somebody in the chat mentioned that he's been finding a way to get on base. He doesn't pass the eye test as a big league hitter. He just doesn't. Now, like, defensively, he's been very good. He seems to be an even-keeled guy. Like, you want to root for him. I want him to be good. There's no reason to dislike him. But offensively, he's not a big leaguer. And with a team that has underperforming players, Duran's still hitting under the Mendoza line. Obviously, he's better than that. He's been way better than that recently. And although he's hit the ball hard recently, hasn't really shown as many hits as he could have with the contact he's had. Duran's going to be a better player, all right? But when a team is this inept offensively and you're rolling out a guy who is not a big league offensive player, it's just an absolute hole in the lineup where you can't afford it. This isn't the 96 Indians where you can have a catcher that doesn't hit, or the, you know, 07 Sox, and it doesn't matter if Veritek does. You can't have holes in the lineup. And Durbin is an absolute stop sign. There has to be something that Breslow can do, whether it's internally, go get somebody externally. There has to be something. You can't keep rolling a guy out there that is not capable of hitting the ball hard. I'm not even talking about big, you know, home runs, doubles. He can't hit the ball. I mean, he had two contact today. I don't think the ball went a combined 60 feet. It's pathetic. And it's not like it's just today. I mean, this is obviously he's hitting about 140 or 170, whatever it is on the whole season. He does have one home run. I blinked and missed it, and I still haven't seen the highlights. So
it was a 42-mile-an-hour Ephus pitch. He hit it off of a position player.
Oh, he did. Okay, sure. That's hilarious. Yeah. That makes sense now. Now look, one of the things we knew coming in when we got the trade was that he was in the 6th percentile for bat speed. That's not a big league bat. They have to, like, Breslow can't. He can't wait until June and July. When Durbin is such an obvious place to upgrade this roster, go do it this week. Please, I'm begging you. You're a lame duck general manager who just hired one of the better managers in all of baseball. And maybe that was the right move. But now's the time to show some balls and go try to improve this roster, even if it's incrementally. Durbin needs to be moved either to Worcester or as part of a package with a prospect to get somebody that has a chance to put the ball in play with solid contact. You can't have that hole in the lineup stay.
This is what happens when you have a GM or president of baseball operations or whatever you want to call it in control, building this roster and just fostering this, I don't know how you call it, a winning team. And you have the no disrespect to the players here, but I think even they know it. Like, we're playing with a busted deck of cards here. You can't win poker with 43 cards, a get out of jail free card, and like Monopoly money. You can't do it. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to play, you know, chess, and we have checkers with us. It just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I mean, there's a reason why we are now, statistically speaking, because numbers do not lie, the worst team in the American League. We've scored, you know, probably, actually, you know what? Better yet, out of curiosity, because I haven't checked this in a couple days, I'm curious right now, how many teams have scored less runs than us?
While you look it up, one more comment on Durbin.
Go ahead.
Even if you don't want to make a roster move, okay, because somebody in the chat mentioned that he's been great defensively. And I mentioned that, Ryan, who made the point in the chat. You don't need to move on from Durbin move on from Durbin to make a move. Move Meyer to third, put Monasterio at second. Story's gonna play, he's gonna be your shortstop. And you can at least start a game with the best offensive lineup you can possibly have. Because Monasterio is at least competitive. You know, so if you want to have Durbin as a late inning replacement defensively, I don't have a problem with that.
Sure.
You know, and by the way, take pressure off of him. Maybe if he has a slow week, if he sits and you put him in, you give him a fresh start, You can give him a fresh start without sending him down to Worcester. But there's moves to be made here that just aren't being made. And here's the other concern I have. You go and you fire Cora and you promote Chad Tracy from Worcester. Who do you think's doing the lineup card? Do you think this is Chad Tracy's lineup or do you think this is Breslow's lineup? Because I think it's Breslow's lineup, and I don't think Chad Tracy's been empowered to draft his own lineup.
I genuinely don't know. I don't know who's the puppeteer. I don't know who's making the decisions. I know that Tracy doesn't have the ability of acquiring new players, so I know who's at least at the helm of making those decisions, and they've already accepted accountability for the fact that, you know, truth be told, this team is subpar. Now, you know, back to that run scoring prevention unit, you've scored 130. Now, you did score 17 in that game where you know you scored 10 runs, four or six were against a position player. Subtract 10 runs, you're at 120. It means there's really only two teams, the Mets, who have played one less game than you, and the San Francisco Giants that are an absolute dumpster fire. I can't believe they're playing the way that they're playing, but they are. You know, the Red Sox on paper are a bottom five baseball team right now. They are atrocious. It is awful. Like I feel bad for anybody that goes to Fenway Park and spent the amount of money that they did on tickets. There was I don't remember hearing of another team in Major League Baseball or the NFL. Maybe it happened to, oh my God, who was the old owner for the, was it Snyder? Was he the owner of the Commanders before they were they changed the name Redskins?
Dan Snyder.
Dan Snyder, thank you. Okay, cool. So Dan Snyder might be the only person, and I'm not sure. There is somebody who actually paid money to have a plane fly over your stadium that said, John Henry, sell the team, or in so many words, something of that nature. How embarrassing. How embarrassing is that? You're the owner of one of the most storied franchises in baseball, and somebody had the audacity to call you out on your BS because you think you've done a really good job. John Henry must be salivating at this because think about it. 2027, we may not have baseball. The amount of money that we have on the books, like officially, maybe 100, 110 million. You got Crochet's money. You got Suarez's money. Sadon Rafaela's money. Christian Campbell's money. I don't know how many contracts we have on the books, like legit for 2028. This team is just, I mean, you can't just hit reset. This is a self-inflicted gunshot wound in the dumbest way because we've made the worst trades that have not helped this team in any way, shape, or form. And now our offense is getting cut and just absolutely destroyed by it.
It's only getting worse, pal, because they're going to Detroit and we're going to get probably swept because they got their top three guys going.
Yeah, really quickly, just touching up on the defense here. I mean, we've done a really good job about the run prevention. It's been fine. Only a couple of errors, a couple of like misplays that's going to happen. To the credit, though, today, there was one smart play where a ball was fielded to Caleb Durbin, and you see Narvaez going 2-2-2. You hear him yelling, even through your TV, of him yelling 2-2-2 because, as Maloney said, you can't see what's happening behind you. Third baseman can't see if he's making the play. Here's Narvaez, fields the ball, fires to second, gets the lead runner out at second. That smart heads-up play by your catcher calling out the play. I don't expect your catcher to go out there and get you, you know, three, four hits, hit a home run every single day. But if you can play elite defense and help the people in front of you because you're like the commander of that field. Everyone else has, you know, their face, you know, in one direction, and you're the only person possibly that's facing the exact opposite way. Full field of vision. Absolute like money shot job there. Thank God he did that because honestly, that's a little bit of saving face for this team. It's been a brutal product to watch, but when you see those little glimpses of like smart baseball, like that 6-2-5 double play, heads up, tip your cap, thank you, because not much has gone right for this team. Anything else you want to add to the defense before we shift?
He did it again in the extra innings, and Kelly just botched he spun to
that throw was terrible.
The ball yeah. flew out of his hand, but he made the right call. If Kelly made that throw, he would have been out by 3 feet.
100%. And honestly, here's the thing too. The next situation would have been, okay, cool. Second and third, I think those runners hold. It would have been a 6-3 out. You still would have had runners at second and third with two outs. You know, it just, it just so happened to work out. I don't think there would have been a difference there. The next batter after that would have still gotten, you know, walked, and then probably the wall ball double again, knocking in two more. It wasn't a wall ball double. That runner was caught in a pickle. Then they fired it home. Heads up play by Contreras to see the runner trying to snag an extra 90 feet. They threw him out at home. I think they challenged it as well. They got it wrong. But another heads up play by the defense, calling it out, recognizing what was going on and what the Houston Astros were trying to do. They were only able to get two, but two was enough. So let's shift it over. As you mentioned, Jeremy, do you have the next upcoming series in front of you right now?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can have it here momentarily. It's Scoble tomorrow night.
Against Payton Tolley.
Yeah.
So that's going to be tough. Yeah, that's fun.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. Then you got Bayo against Valdez second. Thoughts?
Bayo has been so god-awful. Anybody that thinks we're going to win this game is out of their goddamn mind.
Well, I mean, Valdez is also, a couple weeks ago went six innings, struck out seven, only allowed one run. And this was a guy who couldn't strike out anybody. He had struck out eight guys in his last three appearances combined, and he struck out seven against us. So that was fun. That was great. And they won 6-2 in that game against Boston. I have no reason to believe that we're going to have a chance in games one or game two. I don't think you stand a chance in Tarik Skubal. The last time we saw Tarik pitch against us, he just looked like he was like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm just going to throw pitches. I'm going to get outs and I might allow a run, whatever, but I'm going to strike out 10 and that's it. That's how unaffected he is when he faces this team.
It's bad. And they got Flaherty going in the series finale. And I think we're undecided as we sit here right now. I think Detroit sweeping the Sox in the series is on the table. And if you think this season has sunk to its low point, you're wrong, because if that happens, it's going to be bad on Wednesday. Real bad.
This year either, like against Boston, he got yanked. He walked a lot of guys. I don't remember how it was, five or six guys. And he didn't even get into the, I don't think he even went five innings. I think it was like four or so, but he didn't allow any runs. They still won the game. I think the Flaherty game was the one that we did win, but that was the game where he was just walking everybody. He's had walk problems badly this year, and he's a good pitcher. And so it's a little bit of a surprise for Flaherty. Maybe he's just still getting some rust off. I don't know. I still would trust Jack Flaherty over a lot of the options that we have right now. And given the fact that 3/5 of your rotation is possibly out, that hurts. I mean, you look at it, who's healthy in your rotation right now? Conley Early, less than 1 year of experience. Payton Tolley, who's up here, less than 1 year of experience. Brian Bayo, way too much experience and is not getting the job done. Sonny Gray's coming back, but I don't know when. Did they say?
Wednesday. He might get that start against Flaherty.
Okay, great. Awesome. So Sonny Gray against Flaherty. He maybe goes four innings. We'll see, because it's going to be his first start. Going to have to shake some rust off. That sucks. And then you don't have Kershaw and you don't have Ranger Suarez. So the Red Sox are now officially in Ranger danger zone without your number one and your number two, which was a theoretical that I hadn't even thought about before the season started, and we're already here. And it's May 3rd. So it's a good time. It's a good time to be a Sox fan right now. Anything else that you want to mention onto that three-game set? If there's a game to win, it's game three. I think you and I are aligned on that, because I don't think we have a chance against Tarik Skubal, and I don't think we're going to beat Framber. I can't stand Framber Valdez. After that whole beaning his catcher thing, just like grooving a fastball and hitting your catcher because of the fact that you got crossed up, whatever. I can't do it. I'll never cheer for Framber Valdez for that reason. And I really hope that if we do win a game, it is game two, because I hate Framber, but he's probably got our number again.
I got nothing to add. We suck.
Well, Jeremy, I'll say it for you. Go Red Sox. And for those that are interested in checking out any content, whether this is your first or 500th time, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go to check out daily articles. And you can listen to us wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Red Sox, as Jeremy and I have said, have a very interesting three-game set against the Tigers coming up. Have a great week. Take care.
A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the shortages won't. Because ships move slowly, the U.S. has been running on oil that set sail months ago. But that buffer is running out. Asia is already feeling it. Europe is feeling it. Africa is feeling it. Demand is increasing as supply tightens, and it's what's been raising your power bill and gas prices. But those last ships to the U.S. just arrived, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last much, much longer, because oil doesn't just power your car. It powers the systems that make and deliver your medications, and when supply slows, shortages begin. The difference between panic and peace is preparation with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're ready before you need it. No waiting, no scrambling, just control. Get your Jace case today at jace.com.